Night of, we're talking about the Night of Crystal, and this was in 1938, and Auger, you're telling about your mother, and just the night before this mass riot, the, the Gestapo knocks at the door and asks for weapons, and...
said all Jews have to surrender weapons, have to surrender all the weapons they have, and my stepmother said, Jews? I'm not a Jew. And the man said, well, your name is Feigelberg. And my stepmother said, that was the name of my deceased husband. And so he said, oh, excuse me, madam, we will cross your name off the list. And it was actually after that date that my stepmother decided to change her name. And the next morning, this spontaneous riot broke out. Well, I know for a fact that weapons had been collected. I mean, it's simply the truth.
So what the Gestapo was doing was they were making the Jews defenseless so that they could carry out riots.
I don't know whether this happened everywhere, that they collected weapons everywhere, but I know that in this part of Cologne they did. And windows were bashed in, pillows were ripped open, glass was thrown in the streets, and it was just awful. Jews must have owned a lot of porcelain and glass stores.
Yeah,
so that's how that came. But in the apartment house where we lived, it wasn't a very big apartment building. All night there were people going up and down, up and down, and 11 men had committed suicide in that one night.
That must have been horrible. I know they have in the rise and fall of the Third Reich, they talk about 119 synagogues set on fire, and 171 houses set on fire, and 20,000 Jews arrested. Were you identified, were Jews identified at this time? I know in Holland they wore a yellow band.
No, not in 1938. No. And I never had to do that because I was living in hiding.
Now, we're approaching the beginning of the war. We're approaching Germany spreading out and taking over Austria, Anschluss. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, yes. That was a tremendous event. Schools were again caught. Children had to go to the auditorium. We were told about this. We were told about the longing of the Austrians to belong to Germany. The oppression of Austrians and Czechs by foreign powers, and how Hitler had freed them. And over the radio we heard the shouts of delight and the happiness. And I remember I went for a walk, or I had to go somewhere, I forget where, and a number of young boys on bicycles raced up the street after another little boy, actually quite funny, and they said, he's an Austrian, we want to congratulate him, and this little Austrian boy raced me as fast as he could.
It was a happy time for Germany, and do you think for the Austrians as well?
My impression was that the Austrians loved it. The few Austrians I knew were certainly for it. And, I mean, I'm not an Austrian, so I don't know. But what we heard was all positive. And like I say, the few I knew were delighted.
And how about Czechoslovakia? Hitler takes over the Sudetenland and supposedly 3 million Germans there.
Yes, and again...
Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, the atmosphere was tremendously tense. Everybody talked about it, all the newspapers and the radio, and every person talked about it. But by then, for us, it was already very, very tense, and we were desperately trying to leave the country. I mean, people of Jewish origin were presenting themselves every day at the Gestapo, and they couldn't get exit visas, and they couldn't get entry visas into countries, and on every corner there were signs, Jews, get out.
Now, was it the, I don't understand about the tenseness. tenseness, not so much. I was thinking in the sense of war, but you're saying tenseness more against Jews. Why would this Czechoslovakia move make it more, bring out more pressure against the Jews, do you think? Or is this what you're saying?
Yes. What? But I don't know why. I think maybe there must have been such mass hysteria, and there wasn't a day when some crime by Jews wasn't mentioned, when some Jews hasn't been rounded up, when someone wasn't furtively talking about Jews. It was a terrible thing.
How and when did you leave Germany?
I left in July of 1939. I was supposed to leave in September, and that would have been too late.
Mm.
I had two exit visas, one to Sweden and one to England. To Sweden as a domestic and to England as a student nurse. But I could never get an exit visa. I could never get an exit visa and an entry visa to coincide. And in this 1 week, I got two exit visas. I got one exit visa and two entry visas. And my stepmother came and fetched me and said, you're going to England. It's better for you than Sweden. And you've got to go tomorrow because your visas will expire. So I went.
If your name had been changed, were they still were you still suspect of being Jewish then?
Yes, because you could not get work, you could not enter a school, you could not join any institution whatsoever without proof that you were not Jewish, or even proof that you were totally Aryan. There was no way of escaping that, no way at all. You could change your name, and that might buy you a little time, but sooner or later they got you.
And what happened to your mother? Did she stay behind?
My stepmother, being German and having a German name, she stayed behind. But we children were gone, and she managed. She couldn't have managed with the Jewish name, but she managed with her maiden name.
And she survived the war?
She survived the war, yes.
Now, we never talked about your natural mother. What happened to her?
She had died before Hitler came along. So.
Was she Jewish?
Yeah, half. She was fortunate in that. That's quite a story. Her father had been minor Prussian, sort of Swedish aristocracy. But her mother, my grandmother, was totally Jewish. And the two families had disowned them, my grandparents. And so my mother was half Jewish, and she had this wonderful name, you know, von Uptesche, which was a title. And so no one suspected that she was Jewish, except I always think that she looked more Jewish than anybody.
Your mother must have died when she was very young.
Yes, 39.
Is there any reason why? Do you know why she died?
Yeah, but it's all right.
Yeah, okay. History tends to show Hitler and the Nazis as monsters. Now, we talked about that, and I was wondering why you don't think he was stopped somewhere along the line. And we mentioned that there was just this great devotion towards him. Any thoughts on how he was able to win these people over? Was it the fact of the tremendous unemployment and supposedly the World War I and the guilt clause and all of that? But was there anything else that might have stepped in here and said, hey, this man should have been stopped and yet he wasn't?
I don't know. I think that probably a number of explanations. Some are reasonable and some are simply mystical. I think the reasonable one is the fact that Germans who have been unable to afford anything could suddenly had employment. The roads were built, they could afford cars, the Volkswagen, could travel, they had a feeling of confidence. And another thing was the tremendous propaganda. I mean, at school, when we started school every morning at 8, we used to have prayers. But after Hitler came to power, every morning, the first thing at assembly, we were read a Hitler word.
Mm. This is like Mao's book, Mao's sayings, okay.
That's and sometimes those sayings were absolutely stupid, you know, but other times they were inspirational. They were always things like, I shall save Germany.
Mm.
No decent German need fear unemployment or discrimination. And then everybody would say, Heil Hitler, lift their hands.
Mm.
And then if you were in a school where it mattered, you might have the Bible and a prayer. And after a while in some schools that was discontinued, but the Hitler word was not discontinued.
If you had to report to the principal, would you Heil Hitler?
Oh, yes.
Good grief.
Yes. When your teacher came into the classroom, they would enter the room and say, Heil Hitler, and we would all say, Heil Hitler, and then begin.
Sounds wonderful, yeah.
So, if that... It was so common. I mean, I remember going to the bank with my stepmother, and she'd approach the teller, and she'd say, Heil Hitler, and she'd want her account.
Good grief.
So, it was so permeated. I mean, the whole... Your whole life was soaked in Hitlerism.
Mm.
And if you didn't belong, then you'd better get out because you knew you couldn't survive. But you didn't talk about that. And people didn't invite you because they'd be tainted by you. And I can't say that the Germans were particularly courageous.
You know, history is changing so fast, particularly with in Europe with the breakdown of communism. Yeah. And it looks like a rosier picture. On the other hand, though, do you think this could have ever happened again?
I don't know, but I'm guessing yes, it can. I don't see why it shouldn't. Mm. I mean, history repeats itself.
We're talking about racism and and this tremendous hatred for a particular sex of people.
I think it's maybe variations on a theme. Yes, I think it could happen again. It
even here in Canada now with the French speaking,
yeah.
Is that maybe
well, it
a
isn't anyway.
Not to the degree,
well,
but is that a part of it or not?
Well, yes, certainly this is always the beginning, and then if there isn't any public discussion and if reasonable people cannot come to the fore, then yes, then you get this pressure cooker atmosphere.
Mm.
I imagine that at this time in history it wouldn't happen in the Western world. But I don't see why it shouldn't happen anywhere. I mean, look at Iran. The fanaticism there. It's always... I think if it's polarized around religion or politics, then yes, it can happen. And it has happened in the past. You have the Inquisition, you have persecution of Jews, you have persecution of Protestants in France. In very, very civilized countries, the awful thing is that it's happened in our time and we never thought it could.
Mm. Recently we had a person in Canada tried for Nazi crimes, in this case against the Jews, and he was acquitted. This was 45 years after the event. Now supposedly there are other suspected people in Canada. Should these this justice be pursued?
Yes, I think so. I don't really see that time makes a great difference. I mean, my father is dead. He's just as dead. My aunt is dead. She died in Theresienstadt. My cousin is dead. She died in Paris. Most of my family were wiped out. How am I going to say it's all right? I mean... How can you do that? How can you say that somebody commits an enormous crime and after 40 years it's forgiven? I mean, you can't do that. I mean, they should at least be tried. I don't know what the punishment is, but yes, there has to be some public justification or some public understanding of what they did, and that can only be done through a trial, and I would say yes.
I've really enjoyed talking with you on this, Olga, and I hope that it hasn't brought back too many bitter memories. Is there anything else? It's rather interesting you're saying that one of the ways of stopping any of this type of persecution and hatred and bigotry is for reasonable people to step forward and say something. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about in this? We left anything out that you might want to say?
Yes, the thing is that I don't know if you know, but teachers as a group, I don't know if they had a union, but as a group, were the earliest professional union or society to endorse Hitler at a convention in a place called Bückeberg. And I've often wondered about that, because that's, after all, one of our most enlightened groups and very influential, in as much as they deal with young people and play with ideas. And I've never been able to explain to myself why that should have been.
It's rather interesting, the other end of the spectrum, the students, you can see them being quite active throughout history in revolutions.
Yes, but that's the role of students. I don't find that so terrible. Students do play with ideas, the world's opening to them. They are not burdened with wives, husbands, children. The world's their oyster. They think they're immortal. It's normal for students to do that, and actually students probably should do it. Teachers, I'm not sure of. Teachers should provide the role of moderation, I think, and that teachers could, on the whole, endorse Hitler. It's surprising. Now, there must have been teachers who didn't go along with this. But I don't really know how one could withstand public pressure, such pressure. Pressure was enormous on them.
Well, teachers certainly play a focal role, I think, in society.
Really.
That was unfortunate. Well, I think that's about it.
That's
I want to thank you very much.